They had herds and flocks, tents, possessions, riches, and their herdsmen working together. And you know, whenever you have people working together, living close together, it would be nice, wouldn't it, if there would always just be peace and harmony. It'd be kind of nice if it always would work that way, but that's just not reality. Living close together, relating close to each other as neighbors in church fellowship, there's always a potential for relationship difficulties and problems of some sort, strife and contention. We know as Christians, you know, it shouldn't be that way. But the fact, to our shame, we happen, and many times through that, bring a reproach to the name of Christ. Shouldn't be that way. But what can we learn from Abraham's response in a time like this? Here we see contention between the herdsmen. Then we also see concern. We see communication. They communicated together. Verse 7, we see it was strife. Even though it was the herdsmen, Abram and Lot were involved. It was their herdsmen. And you know, and it affects their herdsmen, it affected them. They were involved. Whether they wanted to be or not, it was their cattle and their possessions involved. But what can be done? Verse 8, we see that Abram was concerned about the strife. And it moved him to seek a solution. And especially concerned because, why? We see here he says, "For we be brethren." Verse 8. So he communicated with Lot about the situation, acknowledging even Lot as his brother. Isn't that beautiful? In the strife and in the contention, Lot was still his brother, and he acknowledged him that. Isn't that the first step in a situation? My brother is not my enemy. His herdsman is not my enemy. He's my brother. And Abraham acknowledged that. A very positive acknowledgement, which is sometimes hard to do in a time of strife and contention. He was my brother. She was my sister. But I'm not so sure now that I can relate to her as my sister or my brother. Verse 9, we see Abram's unselfish attitude in solving the problem. He says, "Is not the whole land before me? And the Lord promised me this land." Isn't that what he said? Or did I say it wrong? He said, verse 9, let's read it. "Is not the whole land before thee?" Yes. You know, he could have said, "Is not the whole land, isn't this the land that the Lord promised to me? I could take you back to the date and time when God spoke to me. It was an amazing revelation. Now, according to that revelation, Lot, whose land should this really be?" You know, Lot would have had to say, "Well, yeah, I guess you're right." You know? But that was not his attitude. But he said to Lot, "The land that is before thee, if thou take the right, I will go to the left," and so forth. Now, who was Abraham looking out for? Was he looking out for himself, or was he looking out for his brother? In a time of contention and strife, who does the Lord, many times, who is the first one we want to look out for? at ourselves. What was Abraham's example here? He was looking out for his brother. Yes, he was involved, but he said his brother, he was looking out for him. He was looking out for the highest good in his brother. What do you call that? You know, that's love in action. Here we see sacrificial love, giving up that which was rightfully his for his brother. And you know, it made peace between their herdsmen, didn't it? It made peace. It solved their strife and their contention. Abraham was a peacemaker. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Another thing we see about Abraham, he was easy to be entreated, to be approached, and workable. When a problem becomes a real problem is when you refuse to be approachable or workable. That's when a problem becomes a real problem. You know, when we can't communicate, when we can't approach each other, when brethren are afraid to approach each other, sisters are afraid to approach each other, how can something be worked out then? You know, if you follow the example of here, James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy." I don't really have anything to hide. My highest goal is, like Abraham was for Lot, was his welfare and his good. That's agape love. Agape love in action. 1 Corinthians 10:24 tells us, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." And 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty might be made rich." Isn't that what Jesus' example was too for each one of us? He did that too, didn't he? He was concerned for each one of you and me. "Though he was rich, he became poor, that we might be made rich." And I don't believe that's talking about financial wealth. It's not what he's talking about. But there's other riches, you know, that he's come to give us. Like I read one time of a tax collector that came to this poor preacher. And he says, "I am come to assess your estate and see how much taxes you owe." Well, he says, "I can tell you what I have." He says, "I have a good, pious, faithful wife. I have obedient children. I have everlasting life. I have peace that passes all understanding. I have joy evermore." And on I went. And tax collector said, "Well, I guess that isn't taxable. Indeed, you are very rich." You know, but that's what Jesus came to give us. For Abraham to make peace, it cost him something. The right that which was his. The garden of the Lord. The well-watered plains. So when we seek to make peace in a time of conflict, what does it cost us? Are we willing to make any sacrifice? Are we willing to sacrifice anything at all? Let's think of it. Remember Abraham's example. You know, the beauty about this is, after Abraham did that to Lot, you know what God did to Abraham? You know, when you sacrifice something, like Abraham did, and he just said, "Lot, okay, that's yours. you take it. You know what God did to Abraham? If you just, in the same chapter, verse 14, God came to Abraham. After that, Lot was separated from him. And he told Abraham, lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forevermore. You know, you can't really outgive God, can we? God, Abraham did what he did, then God just poured into his life. He says, you see all this? This is all I'm going to give this to you. Okay, incident number two. Chapter 14. The battle of the kings, Sodom and Gomorrah, and Zoar. These number of these cities, they surrendered. There was a battle here, it's a number of kings. I won't go through their names and everything. They surrendered and they served another king for 12 years. And you know what that meant? They paid them their dues to the king. It might have been cattle, grain, crops. It was taxes they had to pay them. And they did that for 12 years. In the 13th year, they rebelled. In the 14th year of that year, of the 14th year, the king, Chedorlaomer was his name, and some other kings with him, came and warred against these nations. And what happened? Verse 11 and verse 12 says, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their victuals, and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. During this war, Lot and his family were taken captive. Now remember Cain's response to God concerning his brother. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain had no concern, no compassion, no mercy, no care, no consideration for his brother. But Abraham's example is quite opposite. He sensed an obligation to his brother. He had a concern for his well-being. He gave careful consideration what he could do to help his brother Lot and his family. So with his own resources, he showed that he cared by pursuing the enemy and coming to Lot's aid, being his brother's protector, shield, standing in the gap, fighting the enemy, rescuing Lot and his family with all their goods and brought them back to their land. We see that from verse 13 through 16. Verse 16 says, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. You know, now this would have been a perfect time for carnal Abraham to say to his wife Sarah, well, hon, you know, Lot had it coming. Serves him right. The Lord must be trying to show him something. Remember, the Lord told me to look to the north, the east, the south, and the west. The land is to be mine. Now I have lots of land for our cattle. That could have been his attitude. We don't have to worry about Lot and his herdsmen anymore. I feel so sorry for poor Lot and his family. Hope things turn out all right for him. Nothing I can do fighting that, all those kings and those armies. With my little army of 318, nothing I can do. Don't you think that would have been a good time for Abraham just to think, The Lord promised me the north and the south, the east and the west. Look what God's doing. No, his concern was still with his brother Lot, wasn't it? And his family. He wasn't carnal. That was not his attitude, no. He pursued the enemy with his trained servants unto Dan, which was around 20 miles. And it was no easy task. But with the help of God Almighty, he was going to deliver Lot and his family. You know, the scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And Abraham knew that God was for him. God was with him. So this was a sacrifice. It took time, energy, resources, and he risked his own life for his brother. You know, what a price are you willing to pay? Again, you willing to sacrifice anything? When you see your brother in need, your sister in need? I said, time. You know, and I thought about that, time. That seems one of the most things that is sometimes the hardest to give is time. When a brother or sister, you know, they want to have a wood cutting, or they want some help on a building or something like that. Let's have a work bee. To sacrifice a half a day. Are you able to do that for your brother? Look what Abraham sacrificed. Come on, let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. Isn't it that where it is? I'm faced with that at times. I think, well, how can I fit this in my schedule? I want to do all this week. And if I do that, but then I think this, in a year from now, will it make a difference if I skip a day of my this week? Well, I think back, that day was so important back there. I still feel it today. No, that's not the way it works. But that brother who you help, in a year from now, he will know who helped him. That's just the difference that it makes. Sacrifice. What are we willing to sacrifice? To help our brother in need. Abraham showed by his life and example, I am my brother's keeper. 1 John 3, verse 11 and 12. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore did he slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Let me just read the rest of that. 1 John 3. We know that we passed from death unto life, because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in deed, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In John chapter 15, 12 to 13, the words of Christ. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now again, after this incident, after it was all settled, Lot is back with his family. Verse 15, we read that God again appears to Abraham.
But look what he says. Verse 15, chapter 1.
After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Isn't that just what Abraham was to his brother Lot? He was his shield. He was his exceeding great reward. Abraham was not to Lot. God comes and meets with Abraham and says, I promise that's what I will be to you. You know, it was probably priceless to Lot to see Abraham coming to his rescue. Now God is telling Abraham that I will be that to you. You know, what goes around comes around. Matthew chapter 7, verse 2, it says, For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured back to you again. It's the words of Jesus. Incident number 3. Go to chapter 18 for that. Chapter 18, the three angels visit Abraham. Again, I won't read this. From verse 1 through 15, it says about how these three angels came. They visit him. It shows their Abraham, Sarah, their hospitality to these men. And there they give the promise of a son, again, to Abraham and Sarah. And Sarah, you know, she kind of got a joke out of this. Thought, well, these men don't know how old I am. I'm too old to be childbearing. And they challenged her that she laughed. She denied it. Verse 15 says, Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, but she was afraid. And they said, he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. That was one of the missions they came with the good news. They're going to have a son. They're going to have a son. But that wasn't their only mission. The mission was the doom of Sodom. And the men rose up from thence, verse 16. From thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is common to me, and if not, I will know. So the men, the angels, they tell Abraham about what's happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, Abraham, what's his response? He knows somebody is living there. Who's living there? It's Lot and his family. Verse 22, it says, And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place of thy righteous, of the 50 righteous person that are therein? Verse 25 of chapter 18. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous persons within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? He said, If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he answered, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. We see here that, you know, Abraham had a connection with God. When he heard this about Sodom and Gomorrah, what did he do? This time, you know, I don't know if he still had a concern for him. This time he prayed for him. He interceded for him. Interceded. He had a connection with God. Now he hears the judgment of God coming upon these cities. That is where Lot and his family live. They're in danger. He prays. He intercedes for the people of Sodom, Lot, and his family. The place of intercession. That's also a place, brethren and sisters, where we can intercede for one another. The struggles that you and I go through. Sometimes we hear them here this on a Sunday morning, you know, one here. It may be health issues. It may be a discouragement. Praying one for another, interceding one for another. You know, this area, at times, I think I fail so much in this area. You know, we can talk about problems, we can talk about troubles, failures, the sins of others, make accusations, judgments. You know, we'd be so much better Christians if we would follow Abraham's example. He stood before the Lord because he cared for Lot. He cared for his family. He took time to pray. He took time to pray. It says, and Abraham drew near. He spent some time here with God. But we know that he got through to God. He was interceding for Lot. He got through to God. Verse 33 says, the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. He was talking with him, communing together with God. A wonderful privilege that you and I have to commune with God and to pray one for another. Pray one for another. Did God remember Abraham's prayer? You turn over to chapter 19. Abraham's prayer was very effective, wasn't it? Chapter 19, verse 24 to 29. The judgment that came upon the cities of the plain. They were destroyed, Sodom and Gomorrah. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt That was Lot's wife. And Abraham got up early in the morning. Maybe it was again to intercede for Lot. He got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Yes, it was intercession. It says, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. He knew something was happening over there, yonder. I don't know where, how far it was. Maybe it was 5 miles. Maybe it was 10 miles, 15 miles. I don't know. But he, all at once, he said, the smoke went up to heaven like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. God remembered Abraham. He interceded for him, didn't he? So these three examples, again, in closing, am I my brother's keeper? May these three examples of Abraham challenge us in how we relate to our brother here in this congregation and one to another. Challenge us, and not just challenge us, but to encourage us to go the right way. And there is a right way. Most of all, the last one we see there, how he interceded for Lot. He prayed for them, and God heard him, and God moved miraculously on Lot's behalf. May this give us some direction in a time in your life, whenever that will be, when you experience conflict with a brother or with a sister, to be unselfish like Abraham was in his response in a time like that. Turn the time over to Brother Abner. I'm going to close.